We tend to get involved and we think of ourselves, let's the big things, the things that make a huge impact. That's what I want to engage in. The things that we first see on the horizon, that monster, we want to deal with that one. We want to deal with that big thing. And then the little things, we just allow them to come in close. And the word tells us that it's the small jackals that ruin the vineyard. It's not those big things. You know, my son bought a Volkswagen Beetle. Please, just bear with me this morning. I said to Monet this morning, it's the toughest I've prepared. Because every time I try and put what God is saying to me on paper, I don't know why I'm standing with this stuff anyway. It just don't make sense. I can't fit the things together. And all I hear is, do you trust me? I do. It's His church and we're His people. And God wants this morning to come and deal with the things that are keeping us from getting into His presence. You know, my son bought a Volkswagen Beetle a while ago, and they replaced the engine, and I had to go and fetch the car. They finished it, and while I was driving, it backfired, and it was jerking, and the first thing that go, you stop when you open the bonnet at the back, and you look in, and I'm looking, is the carburetor still on? Is the piston still in there? You know, I'm looking for the big things. Because when a car is doing that, it is huge stuff. And then things come to my mind. The guy that replaced the engine, he made a mess up. Because this car is not supposed to do this. Now, as you know, the old cars, that's a 74 model, you drive it. You don't relax in it, you drive it. And I forgot that. But then I realized there's a problem. And I took it back to him. I said, there's a problem here. And he said, I think it's the timing. Now, he put in a new distributor. Now, distributor, he put in an electric one. Now, for a 74 model, I also manifest if they put something new in me. Because that's something that little car's not used to. And I started looking at this thing, and I watched what they were doing. And you know what? He turned the distributor. He loosened it up, and he turned it 1 millimeter. Just 1 millimeter. And that machine purred like a cat. 1 millimeter. That small little thing that brought that whole engine in line. And the timing was perfect. And it's that small little things in life. If the word tells us that it's the small jackals that ruin the vineyard, then I want to tell you this morning, it's the small things in the spirit that break the yoke of the enemy. It is those small things that we tend to overlook and let it just, it's not dangerous. It's not dangerous. Let it just come closer. And we tend to do the same type of thing in the church. We get so easily threatened by the big ministries. I looked at a video on YouTube the other day of Reinhard Bonnke. I mean, if I've got my figures right, that 1 month, 19 million people got saved in his crusades. And we look at that and say, wow, I want to get involved with that. When you hear the prophet stand up, when I hear Andres and Linda prophesy, man, something stirs in me. I want to get involved with that. When we see people do deliverance, I mean, that's powerful. I want to get involved with that. And the Lord says, you belittle the small things I've given you. The word says very clearly to us, Luke 16:10, if you're faithful with the little things, I'll give you more. The Lord says, it's that small little things I want you to be faithful with. But we don't always see those things because it's not important for us. We want more. We want to be more powerful. And he said, Lord, but how can we fix this? The Lord took me to Genesis 1 and 2. His original plan. He said, read Genesis 1 and 2. And I start reading Genesis 1 and 2. And the Lord asked me, what do you see there? And I was looking with his big theological eyes and see, what theological revelation can I get here? But there was a one simple little thing that stood out. God fellowship with Adam and Eve every day. Every day. And it tells us that in Genesis 3:8, when they heard the Lord walk in the cool of day in the garden, they hid because of sin. And that's the first thing the Lord starts speaking to me. He says, I created my original plan. I created you to have fellowship with me every day, face to face. And we see at the cross, it comes forth again. When Jesus died, the veil was torn in two. Where the Lord says, I call you in. I give you access, free access to my presence. He says, come. Come into my prayer. Come. You know, sometimes we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, come. No, every time I read the Bible, I read, Jesus said, you come to me. Come into my presence. Come out of your circumstances. Come to me. And I see that fellowship and that veil that torn into, I want to fellowship with you. I can just imagine how excited Jesus was, or how excited the Father was to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. He couldn't wait to get into that place where he can just walk with him, talk with him. I wonder what they talked about. Certain things we know that he said to Adam, what will you call that thing? Or what will you call that thing? Or what's that thing's name? And they must have had interesting conversations. But I think the Lord was so excited to get into the garden and say, I want to fellowship with you. I want to have fun with you. That's what I want. Acts 1:8 tells us, it gives us a hint. When Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will receive power to do miracles. Did he? Oh. What did he say? To be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. You will receive power to be my witness. And let me help you. Let me get into your head for a while. When we talk about to be a witness for the Lord, what does it look like? We talk about him. Do you know Jesus Christ? We caught a burglar last night here in church. First thing we asked him, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I'm saved. I said, impossible. That's the first thing we do. We want to tell people about the Bible. We know how to quote scripture. We can do that. It's exciting. Let us stop talking about him. And let's start talking about what he meant to me. What is his testimony? A testimony is when I got sharing with you about what Jesus meant to me. How the scripture changed me. If you quote the scripture and you cannot connect it to something that changed in your life, it's dead. But if I quote scripture and say, this is what the scripture says, and I have been touched. Amanda this morning, what happened? That was a testimony. That is the power. That is the power we're looking for. But we belittle that because it's not important. It's more important that we prophesy. It's more important that we do deliverance. It's more important that we preach. It's more important that we quote scripture. And the biggest ministry that God has given man is what we find in Genesis 1 and 2. Fellowship. Fellowship. Because it is in fellowship that we tell one another how he changed my life. That breaks the yoke. We know that anointing breaks the yoke. But it's interesting, when you talk about him and how he impacted your life, the anointing come and it breaks the yoke. And the enemy cannot stand against it. That is the power that he's talking about. We talk too much about him. I always say, and I'm going to say it again, forgive me for it. If you cannot live Jesus Christ, shut up and don't talk about him. Sounds harsh, but that's the reality. Rather live him. I want people to see Jesus in me. If I start talking, you haven't seen Jesus in me yet, I failed him. It's more important that you can see that the Word and Jesus and the Holy Spirit has changed me. And you know, when I fellowship with you, everything changes. I've become so vulnerable. We in a semi-holiday time, and just Monet, myself, and Andres that's here, and I feel vulnerable because we don't spend time every day together. And I'm pulling shots. And I'm nervous. Because we need that fellowship. We need to be together to have that fellowship. That's what he says. But then I want you to look at this. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of all our brothers has been thrown down. Who accuses them day and night before our God? Listen to this. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's how we can conquer the enemy. Is when we talk to one another about what God is doing in our life and how he changed our lives. That is the power. That is what he wants us to do. And I'm worried we're falling much short of it. You know why? I don't like statistics, but it's a gauge to tell us what's happening. There's less people going to comms than coming to church. That tells me that the biggest ministry is not important to us. Fellowship is not important. And that saddens my heart. Because we need to seek that fellowship. You know, praying together. That's the most spiritual thing you can do. Yeah, burnt offering. When we pray together, we share meat. But you know, always with the pray, there's something happening around the pray. We start talking. And when the heart is full, it comes out the overflow. And if it's rugby and if it's movies and all that stuff, it just comes out while you're braying. It's at the braai that you can see where that person is in the spirit. It's when we stand around the fire and having fellowship and we can talk about what the Lord is doing in our lives. That changes. That changes everything. The problem is, how can we get to a place where we can get to a place of fellowship? Where we can get into that place? Where does it stir in me to have that desire to pray with you? To have that desire to go to the beach with you? That desire to go and surf with you? That desire just to come and have some coffee with you? That desire just to run quickly and say, Francois, are you okay? And just in his eyes, within the first minute or two, you can see if he's okay or not. Where does that desire come from? That desire comes from the inner room. Do you know that if you've got a problem with a relationship with people, then you're most probably not spending time enough with him? Because this vertical relationship determines the horizontal one. Our relationship with the Lord determines how is our relationship with my brothers and my sisters. And if I spend time with the Lord, there's desires that come up in me. When I'm in his presence, I've got this desire because I see somebody's face and I hear, I'm just going to pray for that person. Those are the prayers every time being answered. You know, the word tells us when we pray for the sick and lay our hands on the sick and they will be healed. And I try and do it as often as I can. But I'm not always successful in the prayers. But God can answer it if he wants to or not. All he asks me to be obedient. But every time I've been in his presence and he tells me, I want you to go and pray for that person, something happens. Because now it becomes a revelation from the Father himself, one-on-one with me. It becomes reality. And out of that becomes a testimony. And out of that testimony, we take authority. That's what he wants us to do, is to have that fellowship with one another. And that happens in the comm groups. That happens in the comm groups where we can fellowship with one another. So if you're not in a comm group, get to one. Get to one. A comm group is not church. It's life. There you've got the freedom to pack out your life on a table and trust the people and say, what must I do with this? Come and pray for me. I've got this problem. Oh, I want to pray for you. God revealed certain things to me. He wants fellowship. God is so excited to have fellowship with us. And because we're not going into his presence all the time, we struggle to relate to one another. Because everything we need to do on this earth is generated in the throne room. That's where it's generated. You remembered when Mark Manley from Oxygen Life was here, he prophesied. I think he prophesied over most of our elders during the Friday or the Saturday evening. Now, I remember last year he came in. He didn't prophesy over me. But when we walked out the door, he looked at me and we didn't know one another. And he says, the Lord says he gives you permission to go to war. I thought, thank you, Lord. For a year, I engaged in battles that wasn't mine. Because I tried to fight God's battles. And I got burnt out. And I got messed up. Because I engaged in stuff I shouldn't engage with. So this year he came back. And then I don't know if army is written on my forehead. He started prophesying military stuff. And then he got to a point and he said to me, the Lord says, intensify the fight. That excites me. But last night I saw with my heart, it's out of me. Fight is out. But when I lay hands on, I lay it quite hard. I'm just teasing. When a word is spoken over the leaders, it is spoken over you. We represent you. So when the Lord says to me, intensify the fight, he's telling all of us, intensify the fight. Because God wants to do something. What does this fight look like? Not God's fight. Not God's fight. Don't engage in that. I want to read you a scripture that actually took my socks off. Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That is the fight. We need to fight that keep us from getting into His presence. That is the fight we need to fight. We need to fight sin. It started this morning. God is not finished. God is not finished. He's not finished this morning. Because this morning, God had to highlight a couple of things here. And it's gruesome stuff that God dealt with this morning. There's a lot that's been set free this morning. But you know what? There's that small little jackals that's hanging around that we allowed to sniff in our pockets. And we carry some of them in the pocket here at the top. And that's the stuff that's still that time that we need to get to God. God showed me a couple of things He wanted to deal with today. And I want to ask you this. I beg you. Don't get embarrassed. Nobody's going to ask you, only God. But I don't want you to walk out this building today if you're sitting here and you're not sure if I'm saved. The second thing, I don't want you to walk out here when there's small little things that we do that when we come to the door and the other night, I must tell you, God got hold of Wade. And I mean, when you walk into His presence, you start repenting. And that thing spilled over on me. And I sat last night and I couldn't get through. I said, Lord, it's the worst preparation for a service. I don't know. Nothing works out. I don't know what's going on. Is there anything in my life? I start repenting from A to Z. Now it sounds like an American. Z. All the way. Anything that I can think of. Lord, just take it away. Just sort me out. Disobedience. Disobedience is one of the big things He wants to deal with this morning. You know that God has spoken to you in certain areas. You weren't obedient. God says, I want to deal with it this morning. Fear. We fear things. What we're actually saying out there, Lord, I don't trust You. That's what we're saying. God says, I want to deal with that fear. Because it's fear that's keeping you from coming into My presence. Pride. Pride. I can do it. And I fall into that thing many times. When I think I can stir it up. I can do it. The Lord says, when you come to the door, you knock your head because you're so big and you can't even get in. He said, I want to resize you so you can fit into My doorway. So you can get into My presence. I didn't prepare that. Anger. There's some of us that sit, and when certain things are said, there's something that just waken up here, and you just want to. It happened with me the other day. I had to fix a board when I asked me to put some plugs in a board. And I'm in a hurry because my bridge doesn't want to work out. And I've got this plug, and I press it in, and when I pressed it in, all the resin ran into it. You know what manifested? I stood there. And Lord said, aha, there you go. A plug revealed it. God, You deal with it. And it's the places that you do not expect it. But God says, aha, there it is. You just press on that knob. It's under the surface. And all of a sudden, aha, there it is. I were more surprised than the Lord because He knew it was there. Jealousy. There's things. I don't want you to have it because I want it. So I'm going to keep it for myself. I don't want you to have it. I don't want you to say it. It's quite the opposite of what God expects us to do. When we tell lies. When we steal. Oh, it was just a little sweetie on the table. It wasn't yours. It's still. Lord says, aha. It's sorted out. Your sickness. It means there's a door open where the enemy can get his hand in and make you tired. And you cough so much you can't get even a prayer out of your mouth. You can't sleep. Your back is so sore. Willem, your back is so sore that you struggle to come to church. But thank you, you're obedient. You passed that one. God says, I want to deal with it this morning. I want to deal with your back this morning. You said it tight. The screw has come loose. The Lord says, I want to replace the screw. I want to take it out and heal it completely. He's not done. Your sickness is here that we need to deal with. It's that small little things. That sniffle, that's okay. We murmur. How can he do it? How can they do it? Well, that word that they brought, that's not even a proper word, man. You must hear what I can do. And then we murmur afterwards. And we put a curse on ourselves. And Lord says, uh-huh. You're growing in pride again. You're going to knock your head. I'm listening to myself. Don't worry. Pornography. Pornography. It's a small little thing that we page. Men, when you're at street and you look at a girl and she's extremely sexy, how many times have you had sex with her before she walked past you in here? What you do in here, you have done in the flesh. God says, I want to deal with that. That's the stuff that's keeping you from coming into my presence. I want to deal with it this morning. I want to cut it. Idolatry. Does it still exist? It do. It does. Wow, wow, wow. My God, Samsung. That thing becomes a God in our life. I hate it. Uh-huh. There's the other one. When we start hating, say, I don't like that stuff because I know nothing about it. Lord says, I want to deal with that today. Greed, independence, drunkenness. I can take a little doppie, it's okay. But then a doppie becomes a bottle. And then I start losing things in the flesh. And God can't break through in the spirit. God says, I want to deal with that. I want to deal with that today. Because there's only one thing he desires. Fellowship with each and every one of us. And I want to ask you this. I know it's holiday time. I know we struggle with fellowship with, there's a lot of people away. So while they're on holiday and we don't see one another, let's get this straight. Let's spend some time with the Lord in his presence. And start dealing with those stuff. Because in his presence, he's going to show us what to do. And then, let's bri and become spiritual. Let's play games and become spiritual. Let's host people and become spiritual. Let's take food and share with one another. Let's sell what we've got and give to those that do not have. Because that is the greatest ministry. If you can't do that, God can't give you the big ministry that you desire. And I believe God wants to deal this morning with those little things that is still not working. Michelle, can you help me, please? Can we just close our eyes? If you're sitting here and you're listening to what I'm saying and think, oh, Lord, I want you to deal with this and I've got a whole list of stuff and the Lord says, but I don't know you. I know of you, but I don't know you because you've never been with me. You've never accepted me as your father. Today is the day he wants to change that. And I want you to keep your eyes closed because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you're sitting here and you've never, ever asked the Lord, listen carefully what I'm saying. You've never asked the Lord to come into your life and take control. I want you to put your hand up right now because we need to pray with you. Anybody? Thank you. There's one. Thank you. Thank you. There's another one.